Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. Machita matkatak prana bodayantak parasparam katayantascha mam nityam dushyanti cha ramanti cha machita gakatak prana bodayantak parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. We're chanting this verse because it's just a follow-up for what you just did with Dravida Prabhu, where Krishna says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted by service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me for 2.5 hours nonstop. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That means you're supposed to chant while you're asleep, or something like that. Dream of Krishna while you're asleep. Or don't sleep. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. Paragraph. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. And the paragraph that follows is, Lord Chaitanya's summarization or paraphrasing of Lord Chaitanya's talks with Rupa Goswami, recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the seed is received and then sown in the heart and then watered, and it grows and grows and grows. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to read another paraphrase. It's just following the same flow, but it's from Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text Number 6, where the description is about Uddhava. Now, Uddhava is at the matured stage. Uddhava is at such a stage of Krishna consciousness that just by hearing Vidura say Krishna's name and ask questions about Krishna, he goes into a state of trance. He not only goes into a state of trance, but literally he goes to Krishna. Because, as we were hearing Dravida Prabhu explain very nicely this morning, on one of the ten offenses, one should see that there are, understand one chanting that Krishna's name is none different than him. And so when we're chanting, we're associating with Krishna. So hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, you're with Krishna. Krishna is present. If one's consciousness is not purified, you don't realize that so well. Maybe some liking. It's nice, kirtan is nice, japa is nice. But in the mature stage, as in Uddhava, here's what the purport says. Well, the verse. The great devotee Uddhava, because Vidura is elder to Uddhava. Vidura is elder to Krishna, and Uddhava and Krishna are about the same age. So it's like an uncle in age. And very, very wise. So wise Uncle Vidura is coming to younger Uddhava, saying, "Oh, how nice to see you here in the forest of Vrindavan. What great fortune." And as soon as he saw Uddhava, he thought of Krishna because they're so intimately connected. So he asked, "How is Krishna? How is Balaram? How is Vasudeva and Devaki and Ugrasena and all of the associates who are residents in Dwaraka, which you are from?" Because Krishna resides in Dwaraka and you're always with Krishna. So he wanted to hear about Krishna. And to his elder, Uddhava wanted to do some service, speak about Krishna. But he couldn't, because his consciousness was so immersed in Krishna. He was with Krishna. He was physically present and spiritually with Krishna. The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane. And wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscence of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. Purport. I like this purport. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwaraka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord in accordance with his existential condition. Sounds mystical, right? In accordance with his existential condition. And then he explains what that means. He demystifies it. In accordance with his existential condition. So he then, Prabhupada goes in his purport to the same thing that's in this verse's purport, second paragraph, of the existential condition of the soul that's covered, and then through association of sound vibration, through the sadhu's association, he hears about Krishna and something happens. Here's what happens, and then gradually up to the stage of Uddhava. in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instructions given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, quote, "The living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of the respective fruitive results of their own work, life after life." Same as we heard in those first verses of the second canto this morning. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service. And one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow the seed in the core of his heart, as one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it. The seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it reaches the planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord, even from the material plane, by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord, simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another, stronger tree, similarly the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy the fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. That's the, in accordance with his existential condition, he's in touch with, the devotee is in touch with the transcendental abode of the Lord. So back to Chicago. The verses describing, there's one more paragraph, a nice paragraph, but in the purport. But the verse here is describing the characteristics of the person who is described in the previous verse. The person who is described in the previous verse is one who understands Krishna's position. Understanding Krishna's position was part of what we discussed this morning. He's Sarvatma. He's Bhagavan. He's Ishvara. He's Hari. He's one who can take away all of our material miseries and give us his association through the medium of devotional service. And devotional service begins by hearing and chanting, the fruit of which is always remembering Krishna. Not the activity in itself, but the constant touch with Krishna through remembrance of our natural relationship with him. The process is actually completely natural. The beginning of the process may be regulated, like someone who has a disease. They take a prescription from a physician and they follow the prescription, hopefully, and gradually the disease subsides, the fever subsides, and their normal condition restores, their normal temperature and their appetite and their normal functionings restore. So the holy name is like that. It's a sound vibration that comes from pure saintly devotees. That's the medicine. Bhavo sadach shrota manobiramat. It is medicine that's taken through the ear, through sound. And shrotra manobiramat. It's pleasing to the ear and pleasing to the heart. Very naturally so. So the person that's being described is the person who understands Krishna's position. And Krishna's position from the previous verse is he's the absolute truth. He's the absolute truth is the source of everything. That from which everything comes. Everything spiritual and everything material. Everything comes from one source, and that one source, when one understands that Krishna is that one source, he engages in Krishna's service. And this is the type of service that he's doing. His thoughts, machitta, his thoughts are always dwelling in Krishna. This is our theme for this weekend. That's another reason why I picked the verse. Thoughts are always absorbed in Krishna. And how can one come to the stage where one's thoughts are always absorbed in Krishna? In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says how to. Through the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, it's not just through the regulations. It's through the regulations one may become cleansed. The regular hearing and chanting, one becomes cleansed sufficiently so that one has a desire to attain Krishna. And when you have a desire to attain Krishna, then it's easy to think of Krishna. You become attached to something. You become attached to something, you think of that something. The businessman, he thinks of making money, and so he's, even when he's sleeping, even when he's with other people, he can't have a proper relationship with anyone because he's always thinking about money. Money, 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 money. And so forth. You become attached to some addiction habit, and you think of the addiction habit. And so on and so on. The example that Prabhupada gives here, gives two in the purport. The fish out of water. He just wants water. Give him amenities, give him a color TV, and the latest gizmo from somewhere. He's not interested, he wants water. Live in water. Or the other example that's given is just as a young boy and young girl take pleasure in association, nobody has to train them up. It's the iron filings and the magnet. It's they don't have to, okay, now you line up. It's just bring the magnet and the iron filings and it happens. So the mind of the devotee that has become purified through the regulations of hearing and chanting, the mind just goes to Krishna. There's a nice description of this where Kapila Deva is teaching, explaining to Devahuti, devotional service is pure, she wants to know, but is it possible that there can be some mix with the modes of nature? And the answer is yes. So devotional service in ignorance is where one does devotional service so you can get some strength so you can destroy your enemies. Devotional service in ignorance. Devotional service in passion is where I can get something. I can get some honor or respect. At least I can get some money. I'll do devotional service because I get some reward. And devotional service in goodness is I engage in devotional service because it purifies my existence. Or it's to be done. Like, you should speak the truth because you should speak the truth. I shouldn't lie. I shouldn't steal. I should respect the property of other people rather than steal. I should engage in devotional service because that's what I should do. What persons should do. Do because it's obliged, or it's duty. But then he describes devotional service that's transcendental. And devotional service is unmixed. He describes as soon as there is some topic about the Supreme Lord, the mind goes at once. There's no effort. We make effort trying to bring the mind to the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or hear the holy name, very common, that we do every day. Okay, mind, come back to the holy name. Okay, mind, come back to the holy name. And the mind keeps going. So we bring the mind back by regulation. But in the purified stage, there's no okay mind, now let's go to the subject matter. The mind's gone. The example that's given in the Bhagavatam by Kapila Deva is the river during rainy season flowing downstream. Okay, river, now you can flow downstream. The river is downstream. Put an object in the river, it's downstream. Effortlessly, like the mind of Uddhava. He just said, Vidura said, Krishna. And his mind went to Krishna. He was with Krishna. And he was struggling to come back to this plane to answer his question. How is Krishna? There's a nice example in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Many of you know this nice description. Gadadhar Pandit was a classmate of Nimai Pandit when they were very young. And Gadadhar Pandit was by nature very renounced, very detached, not at all interested in worldly, only interested in spiritual subject matters. So, one fine day, a great devotee named Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadvipa. And Mukunda knew this person. So he invited his friend, Gadadhar Pandit, please come meet. There's a great personality that's just come. So he brought him to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. When he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, without all of the detail, he appeared to be a gross sensualist. He was dressed in very fine garments. He was reclining on a, whatever you call those things, bedstead kind of thing, but like a sofa that's all fine silk. And there were perfumes everywhere and drinks of different kinds and people fanning him with peacock fans and long curly hair with oil, so it was scented and very, very, looked very sensuous. And Gadadhar Pandit's mind was thinking, let me out of here. Why has he brought me here? So knowing Gadadhar Pandit's mind, he sang a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in a very melodious voice. And just hearing that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, the mind of Pundarik Vidyanidhi went to Krishna. Because he was on that platform of love, spontaneous, ecstatic love for Krishna. He entered into a state of ecstatic emotion. He lost it. He fell off that nice, soft place, fell onto the floor, he knocked over the table that had all the drinks, and his body was convulsing in ecstatic exhibitions of symptoms. And Mukunda continued to sing and sing and sing, and Gadadhar Pandit realized he's not what he appeared to be. He appeared to be an awful, terrible, materialistic person. But he's exhibiting his unrestricted attraction for the personality of Godhead. I've made a big offense. The singing stopped and Gadadhar Pandit, he hadn't said anything. He was just thinking that thought. But he was considering that to be offensive. So he spoke to Pundarika Vidyanidhi and revealed, I was thinking these bad things. But now I understand who you really are. I wish that you would forgive me, and one of the ways I would like to seek your forgiveness is, please give me shelter. Please accept me as a disciple. Please initiate me into the chanting of the holy name. So Pundarika Vidyanidhi accepted Gadadhar Pandit as a disciple because of his eminent qualification. So back to Chicago. And, you know, our current set of realities, we don't have that capacity. But that's the fruit. That's where the mind is supposed to go. It's supposed to go to Krishna. Here's the last paragraph of this purport. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations. About the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees, therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as is stated in the Bhagavatam itself. And he quotes the verse from the 12th canto Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavam Priyam. It is very dear to the devotees. Why is it dear to the devotees? In this narration, there is nothing about material activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is only the narration, is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures. Just as a young boy and a young girl take pleasure in association. So there's worldly association where worldly-minded people take pleasure there. And there's transcendental association where just hearing Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grananti, Sadavaha, where one becomes purified and accepts within one's heart this, going back to the purport, the seed or taste, something, each one of us that are practicing devotional service, we couldn't continue unless there's something. That something is taste. It's the seed. And that's what is being, the advice of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, that is to be placed in the heart, and that is what is nurtured. And as that seed is nurtured, or the taste is nurtured, that means the heart is becoming cleansed. And the remembrance of Krishna awakens. Attachment for Krishna awakens. Love of Godhead awakens gradually. This is the process. But the beginning, we're not on the platform of Uddhava, we're in Chicago. We're not in Vrindavan. And we didn't just hear Krishna speak Uddhava Gita. We're ordinary people scratching our heads trying to understand how to deal with this material circumstance of life. The process of hearing and the process of chanting awakens the remembrance. It awakens that taste that turns into love. And in that state of remembrance and attachment, purification, attachment and love, remembrance just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, as Prabhupada is describing. One cannot for a moment but think of Krishna. Like the gopis. Very nice example. They want to stop thinking about Krishna. Krishna is not trustworthy. He has other girlfriends. And so we don't want to think about Krishna anymore. they can't not think about Krishna anymore because of their attachment for him, because of their love for him. So they just speak about how they want to forget Krishna, and Krishna this, and Krishna that, and Krishna this, and Krishna that. But they can't get Krishna off of their mind. And that's the natural state of the living entity. And now how do we go from the diseased state to the natural state? Take medicine. That the medicine of hearing and chanting. So whatever our fortunate or unfortunate condition may be, the method is just what we've planned for this whole weekend. Just continuous hearing Krishna Katha, hearing Kirtan, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, and that entering into that wonderful sound vibration of glorification of Krishna, even in deity worship. One of the most important parts of deity worship is Kirtan. Prabhupada explains like that. Jiva Goswami explains like that. Of all the nine processes of bhakti, chanting is the most important, because chanting awakens the soul, cleanses the soul, and restores our natural position of remembrance of Krishna. So this, in one last thing, this example of the creeper of bhakti that grows and grows and grows and pierces the covering of the universe and into the spiritual sky and continues, and it clings to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and there the fruit of love of God comes. Later, in this third canto, Kapila Dev uses a very similar metaphor, but in that case, the tree, as creepers grow on a tree or some solid object, so that which introduces that sound vibration, that's sadhu. The source of the sound that provides the seed is the sadhu. And so attachment, not just association. From sangat sanjayate kama, those with whom we associate, we become attached to naturally. Even if it's bad association, we can become attached to bad association. So if one becomes attached to sadhu sangha, then the creeper continues to grow. The watering process is nourishing the root, but the continued association with the sadhu from whom that sound vibration comes, the creeper continues to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow in that way. So we require sadhu sangha in the assembly of the Vaishnavas here. There's so many eminent, very qualified saintly persons speaking, singing, worshipping, various ways engaging in very elevated forms of devotional service. It's a powerful opportunity, powerful experience. And Kapila Dev uses this word sadhu sangha as the one who gives this hearing and chanting opportunity, who gives the seed. And a word that's equal to sadhu is mahatma. So in the purport that we read this morning, there was reference to 9:14 Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing the same thing as in this chapter 10, verse number 9. Satatam kirtayanto mam itantascha dridhavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, those great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So those great souls refers to the previous verse, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. Their minds are Bhajanti Ananya. They're always engaged in that way. A great soul, they've taken shelter of the divine energy or Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, but their minds, Vajanti Ananya Manaso, their minds are fixed in this activity of glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, similarly, what do? They chant. They hear. They always remember. Notice the symmetry of Krishna's message. We're in a good boat. And there's a safe captain. And there's favorable breezes. Just stay the course. You'll get to the destination in due course of time. However unqualified or mixed with impurities and contaminations, whatever one's position is, it's quite okay. Provided one stays situated properly on this boat of transcendental hearing. Transcendental hearing brings transcendental knowledge. And the proper captain is the spiritual master. The Prabhupada's wonderful purports, giving us direction, which way to go, how to navigate our way through material existence. And favorable breezes, the good fortune of the association, and like this, taking part in events as we're doing. The sail is full with favorable breezes and we're plying forward. Stay the course. And continue on this progressive reawakening our forgotten relationship with the Personality of Godhead. By the process of devotional service in general, and specifically the process of hearing and chanting, the transcendental sound vibrations, and easiest, most simple and sublime is this wonderful chanting of Krishna's holy name. So that we've placed this in the schedule, lots of opportunity during the time that we're together for devotees that like to chant. And it's also nice for the devotees to have an opportunity to associate with others that they haven't seen in some time and renew their relationships. But also come to the temple during the kirtan time and join in the kirtan together. It's overall, by doing like that, maximizing the hearing and chanting and loving exchanges with the devotees, your Krishna consciousness will be greatly benefited. Great way to spend holiday season together, hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering him. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Nantashesh. Look at me, I don't know anything about these things.
One thing that is that it is not sufficient to associate with chanting people, but to have attachment for
them. It's sufficient just hang out. But in the course of time, from hanging out without offense, you become attached.
So my question was, before coming in contact with any people, we have relationships and attachments with material people.
Yes.
And so
transfer. You know what transfer is. That's an inside joke. He lost his job. He's going to have to transfer his job.
So, that transference of that document to many people does not work.
Doesn't work?
If we attach to many people in the same way we attach to many different people, does that work?
No. It don't worry about the fine-tuning. It will happen. What I said, you missed the morning class. What I said is exactly what Kapila Dev says to Devahuti. As we are attached, as one is attached to material existence, simply transfer that attachment to saintly persons, associating with saintly persons. Transfer that attachment. Certainly it's going to look different, feel different, and smell different. But it's the same principle of attachment. The behavior of one who's attached to a prostitute is not going to be the same as the behavior of one who's attached to a sadhu. But the principle is the same. Okay? You got a funny thing on your forehead that says, wait a minute.
But it's true that material attachments are need-based. We're needing in our attachments and related to others. We have a
needy
relationship with a spiritual person.
I missed it. Are you asking, do we have to cut the material relationships, or will it spiritualize those material relationships, or what are you asking?
My understanding is material relationships are mostly need-based. I need something out of this.
They're selfish-based. My senses, there's an object, oh, you're my friend. Wait a minute, you didn't give me sense gratification. I'm checking out. You say need-based, I'm saying sense gratification-based. Pretty much, you know, they're pretty close.
So there is a chance that the relationship with the spiritual person also becomes need-based from...
Well, what we need is our relationship with Krishna. That's what we need. That's our real need. And the other is something else. Something else? Anyone? On the ladies' side? On the men's side? Oh, there we go. Not an accident. Did you say accident? No. This is the accident. The material world is a bad accident and it's painful. That's not an accident. That's completely no accident. Well, but that's not an accident. Don't think of it that way. It's kindness is not an, it's not, oh, it just so happened, it fell from the sky. There's some, from our side, there's at least a desire, and then another is, we got a receiver on. That said, here's some mercy, and we went, yes, instead of no. There's something from our side. It's not an accident. You've heard that. Everybody knows that expression. There's not an accident in the universe. There's purpose behind it. Krishna is being kind. This is nature. He's being kind. And he extends some of that kindness through his kind devotees to us. It's a loving relationship. It's not an accident. All right. Okay. You're all either tired or hungry. So we'll end, and thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.